You're with us for Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Soon after the coronavirus outbreak landed on our shores, concerts, musical theaters, festivals, there was a landslide of cancellations that shook up our plans for weekend entertainment. The Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra still performed Beethoven's Fifth early last week, but allowed no one in the audience. The concert was recorded and posted online. Let's listen. How are your favorite artists responding to the pandemic? Have they canceled shows? Are they still trying to perform in other ways? Are you an artist? What is life like? We're at 800-642-1234. Justin Barney is music director at 88.9 Radio Milwaukee. Justin, welcome back.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me back.
We also have Gwendolyn Rice on the line, theater critic and playwright in Madison. Gwen, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And Lori Skelton is here, host of Afternoon Classics on WPR. Lori, welcome over to the Ideas Network again.
It's always good to be here.
Well, Lori, let's start with you. The concert industry didn't shut down all at once when the coronavirus outbreak came to our shores. How did the process unfold here in Wisconsin?
I started seeing emails from concert promoters and performers about 2.5 weeks ago saying, we're concerned, we're reassessing the situation. I was starting to see this about the same time as I was starting to see emails from college campuses around the state saying, our students are either on spring break or about to go on spring break. We need to change our model of how we teach. And that's when especially orchestras that are at full swing right now, started to reassess how they wanted to do things. You mentioned the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra that had those concerts the weekend of March the 13th. Kenosha, Sheboygan, the Beloit Janesville Symphony all had performances scheduled for that weekend as well, and all of those were canceled. Some are hoping to reschedule. Some orchestras around the state weren't planning season finales until May or even June. So things are still being assessed for those. But of the 25 or so orchestras that I follow throughout the season, 8 of them have already gone ahead and completely canceled their season.
Mm. So Gwen, how about you? When you look at musicals, they are often run by national tours. How did the musical industry shut down?
Well, it's a very similar story. Obviously, you've got lots and lots of people involved, both on stage and in the pits. It's something that's been planned for more than a year. In cases such as Overture Center and the Marcus Center in Milwaukee, you've got 2,000 people who have tickets every night for sometimes a 10-day run or a 2-week run. So it's a decision that was not approached lightly either by the venues or by the tour organizers. But about 2 weeks ago, right around the 12th and 13th, it really became apparent that the health risks were just too great. And here in Madison, the tour of Wicked had just started at Overture Center. So they had had maybe 2 or 3 performances. And it did take a little negotiating, I think, between Overture officials and the Broadway Across America folks. But they ultimately canceled the rest of the run. And, everybody's sort of waiting and watching for smaller organizations such as, First Stage Milwaukee, the Skylight Opera Theater, people who had musicals running at the time, and then the rest of their season. Many of them have said, we're canceling the rest of the season and we're going to try to move the performances that were scheduled this spring into our season next year.
So roll it over.
I mean, that's one option. I know the Skylight is trying to actually move their performances that would have happened this spring into the summer so that they can start their planned season, as it was intended in September. It's anybody's guess now, you know, whether that's going to be possible. But there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes to try to salvage what in many cases was so much work that it had already been put into a production that would never see an audience.
We're talking with theater critic Gwen Rice. We have Laurie Skelton here, host of Afternoon Classics on WPR. And we have Radio Milwaukee's Justin Barney. What music do you think people should be listening to right now? Who are some of your favorite artists for this time? Why are they resonating? Join in at 800-642-1234. So, Justin, what did you see as the shutdown unfolded with concerts and festivals?
Yeah, for us in our world, the first thing was South by Southwest, which is just such a major concert event that happens. You know, I was supposed to go March 17th through the 22nd, and that was called at the end of February. And at the time, it was like, I cannot believe that they're canceling South by Southwest. I mean, it is such a huge event in the music industry, and it was called relatively early. And at the time, it kind of felt like what is going on here? But I mean, that would have happened last week. So it, you know, in hindsight, it was the absolute right move to do, but at the time it was pretty alarming, and that kind of like set bells off around the whole music industry. 'Cause right now we're in the breadwinning part of the season. This is summer music festival season of a thing that has grown every single year. And so now South by Southwest is canceled for sure. And we've seen a lot of festivals push their dates farther. Coachella was supposed to happen next weekend, and that's been pushed to October. Summerfest in Milwaukee, I mean, like one of the most classic events that happens every year, was supposed to happen at the end of June and early July, and that's been pushed as well. So we've seen these happen as far as June be pushed into the fall.
Yeah, when I saw the cancellation of South By, I was like, you know, that is a bellwether, because if South By is canceled, so goes everything else. I mean,
That's really what it was.
Yeah. You know, I think I saw some estimate, Billboard said 32 million people go to festivals a year. How is the industry handling, you know, whether people should get refunds or, you know, how do you handle these concerts that have so much, as Gwen said, put into them, and yet they can't see the light of day?
It's been really difficult. There is no right answer, and there really hasn't been a standard so far. I mean, like, South by Southwest just took the hit. I mean, South by might go bankrupt. You know, it's like, that is, the city depends on that festival. Individual organizations depend on that. Small businesses depend on that. It is really, and because of the timing, there is no rescheduling. And so South by took the hit, but events like Coachella, they've pushed it off. They've been, you know, giving refunds and saying that things will be, you know, will be available. But also there are festivals that are kind of not saying whether, you know, you will get a ticket for their advanced thing, or there hasn't been a standard. Everyone is kind of like trying to figure it out themselves. The ones further in advance kind of have a little more room to figure it out.
Yeah.
South by now.
We're talking with a panel of music journalists about how musicians, performers, and fans are adjusting to this health crisis. Gwen Rice is a theater critic and playwright. Laurie Skelton, host of WPR's Afternoon Classics. And we're hearing from Justin Barney, music director at 88.9 Radio Milwaukee. Are you a performer or playwright? What are you doing with your craft right now? Music and theater fans, how are you managing? Join in 800-642-1234. We're listening to music from the original Broadway soundtrack for Evita. Musical was among Wisconsin's shows canceled as part of efforts to contain the coronavirus. Back in a minute.
Don't cry for me, Argentina. The truth is I never left you. All through my wild days.
You're with us for Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So Spotify plans to launch a feature that will enable artists to fundraise directly from fans during this time. And it says it will give artists the ability to drive listeners to a fundraising destination of their choice on their Spotify artist profile pages. So how are you supporting music artists that you love right now? Musicians and performers, how have you been affected by the pandemic? What are you doing during the stay-at-home orders? Are you working on new music? Join in 800-642-1234. We're talking with Justin Barney, music director at 88.9 Radio Milwaukee. Lori Skelton is here, host of WPR's Afternoon Classics, and Gwen Rice, a Madison-based theater critic and playwright. Let's take a call now. Tyler is with us from Milwaukee. Hi, Tyler.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So, yeah, a friend of mine mentioned maybe we could listen to an album a day. So we've kind of put out a social media spread and try to get a few people to take our side and hop on and listen to an album a day. We all try to get together and listen to it at the same time. But usually there's people, I'm still an essential worker, so I kind of listen to it on my own time. But it's pretty fun. It generates a little bit of fun on our social media and discussion just about the music in general itself.
So we try
to focus on the music.
Well, Justin and Lori, I know they are dying to know what you're listening to.
At the moment, it's a combination of things. Sometimes it's I'm singing along to the Largo al Factotum, Figaro, Figaro, because that's, when Figaro comes on stage in Barber of Seville, he's basically saying, I am the person that keeps this city moving. You need your hair cut. You need me to pass on a note to your mistress. I've got it covered. It's full of swagger, but it's good-natured swagger. And half of the words are tra-la-la. So it's a really easy, fun way to say, you know, I got this.
Well, Tyler, so, maybe you should add that to your repertoire. Tyler, what are you listening to these days?
Oh, well, I think one of the big ones was Neil Young's Rust Never Sleeps. We really enjoyed that one. Another one was a smaller band called Cadaver. Their album was a quote from Dracula, the dead travel fast, I believe it is, which was just kind of a harbinger with such an unusual thing going on in the world.
Yeah. So. Justin, do you have any suggestions for Tyler's group?
Yeah, I would love to.
Well, you know, in this time, I have been listening to the hundreds of records that I have collected over the years. You know, like, I have shelves and shelves, and I was like, you know, these records will never get listened to unless there's some kind of, like, event that has me in my house for an indefinite amount of time, and then maybe I'll get a chance to listen to these records. So I listened to, like, an old, like, Crosby, Stills, and Nash record that my dad gave me like 10 years ago that I had been collecting dust forever. So I got to listen to that. I mean, listen to a lot of Big Thief as well, who's like one of my favorite bands.
But I understand.
Just dusting off those old collections.
I understand you recently rediscovered the song Juanita by David Allan Coe in your collection. Let's hear a little bit.
Juanita, yeah. You'll love Wisconsin. Wisconsin is gonna love you. All of Milwaukee speaks Spanish. Of course you're going to wear American shoes.
Can you explain that, Justin?
This record has been sitting in my collection for years. David Allan Coe's Tennessee Whiskey. And I bought it when I bought like five other records and I just hadn't listened to it. And because I'm in my house all day and I'm just like dusting off these old records, I put it on the record player. And I was like, this song is about Milwaukee. This song's about Wisconsin. And I had no idea. And then I looked into it and it was written by Shel Silverstein.
Really?
And who is it?
Oh,
yes.
Where the sidewalk ends. Yeah.
Yeah. And him and David Allan Coe were friends and they were in Key West, Florida, and Shel Silverstein played that song for David Allan Coe, and he was like, you know, I'm going to write that and record it. And he recorded it, put it on his album, been sitting in my collection for 10 years, finally listened to it, and discovered something new out of my old collection.
I love that. Well, Gwen, you know, how about you? What is getting you through this time? What are you listening to, watching?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, obviously, there are a lot of parallels between what's happening right now and the sort of classic musical Rent which was all about the AIDS crisis and artists and a lot of fear of the unknown. But then there's also a lot of love stories and the sort of idea that artists are going to prevail and keep making their art and get through, you know, whatever comes next. Rent was actually based on La Boheme, and in the late 19th century, they were facing consumption as the disease that was going around. Of course, in Rent, it's AIDS, and so, you know, it's sort of nice to hear those same sort of refrains from another crisis that we've passed through, and now. Have some of those sort of same concerns. But the other musical that I think is really helpful, at least for me right now, is Come From Away. And it is actually based on a true story of this little town in Newfoundland where on 9/11, there were all sorts of passenger planes in the air at the time that the Twin Towers were hit, and they were all forced to land at the nearest airport. And so all of these planes ended up landing at this tiny little airport in Gander, Newfoundland. And so this tiny little town all of a sudden had 7,000 plane passengers that all arrived on the same day from all over the world.
How fascinating.
And the town actually completely rose to the challenge. They got everybody off the planes. They got everyone housed. They called out all of the doctors, all of the spiritual leaders in the area to try and minister to everyone's needs. They turned the school into a shelter. They actually used their local hockey rink to store food. It's like a cold place. And it's all based on a true story. And it's really about how people rise to the occasion at times when there's so much uncertainty and there's so much crisis and so many people are in need all of a sudden. It's really heartwarming, and it's also just got beautiful music, a lot of Celtic-inspired tunes. So,
and that's called Come From Away.
Come From Away, right. Mm.
We're talking about the entertainment industry right now in the face of the coronavirus impact with WPR host Laurie Skelton is here. We have Gwen Rice, who we've just been talking there, theater critic, and Radio Milwaukee's Justin Barney. Your thoughts as well. Were you hoping to see orchestras or musicals this month in Milwaukee or Madison, Green Bay, or in your community? Would you still want to go later this year if possible? Join in 800-642-1234. So, Laurie, are orchestras and choirs or group ensembles, are they able to reschedule their performances, or will that be really tricky?
There is some, not everything can be rescheduled, especially if there was a soloist involved. Soloists, whether they're instrumentalists or whether they're opera singers, their calendars are booked out years in advance. And while I'm sure everyone is going to do everything within their power to reschedule, sometimes you can't. Choirs who were looking at big choral finales, a couple of orchestras were going to do Beethoven's Ninth to end their season. One was going to do Carmina Burana. But when you're talking hundreds of singers who are going to be very, very concerned about breathing, about the health of their lungs, it's harder to get groups like that rehearsing, you know, 130 people in one space. No, that's not going to happen right now. It's harder to get choirs involved just because more people, more rehearsal time. The thing that I'm seeing that is so heartening is that nobody is expecting one person to come up with a solution. As Justin said earlier, everyone who is talking amongst themselves, presenters talking to the musicians, presenters talking to their patrons, everybody getting involved, eventually we're all going to come up with solutions that work for each individual performer or each individual ensemble. That said, it is going to take all of us working together. There is no one solution. We got a lot to figure out.
We're talking with three music journalists on how this pandemic is affecting performers and concerts and festivals and our state's entertainment industry as a whole. We have theater critic and playwright Gwen Rice, Lori Skelton there, a WPR classical music host, and Justin Barney from 88.9 Radio Milwaukee. So what shows are on your calendar this spring? Have you been contacted by concert organizers or musicians? What are you hearing from them? Join in 800-642-1234. We're listening to Millionaire by Chris Stapleton, one of Summerfest's headliners before the festival was postponed over the coronavirus. More Wisconsin Weekend right after this news update on the Ideas Network. It's Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're looking at how the entertainment industry is coping with the loss of live performances during the pandemic. One of the pioneers of Afrofunk music, the saxophonist Manu Dibango, died this week from COVID-19. He was 86, and he died in Paris. Musicians and performers, how are you responding? Have you canceled shows? Have you cleared your tour schedule? Are you trying to perform online? How are your fellow bandmates holding up? We're at 800-642-1234. We have Lori Skelton, the host of WPR's Afternoon Classics. Justin Barney is here, music director at 88.9 Radio Milwaukee. And Gwen Rice, a theater critic and playwright who's based in Madison. So, Gwen, how important is the spring performance period for the financial health and stability of theater venues and performers?
Well, I mean, for the nonprofit theater groups, every performance is important. But as a reviewer, my calendar was completely packed in March. I mean, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, both in Madison and Milwaukee, and now I have nowhere to go. So it was a very busy time. It's also a time when a lot of performing arts organizations are sort of ending with a big, you know, sort of finale. At the same time, they've just launched their subscription sales for the following season. So the idea is, you know, you go to this amazing big show at the end of the year, and then you're so inspired that you immediately sign up for the season for the following year. And it's just a lot of nice synergy, and it also helps, obviously, with just keeping cash flow coming into the organization while typically they're not performing over the summer. And so all of that has been disrupted. A lot of nonprofits, in contrast to, you know, maybe, you know, big music stars or, you know, larger organizations with huge endowments, a lot of small theater companies are just in free fall right now in terms of, you know, how they're going to deal with this, if they can make it until next fall, you know, how they can recoup all of the income that they had planned on right now. And we were talking a little bit about refunds previously. It's the same sort of dilemma in the nonprofit theater scene in that, obviously, you want to provide terrific customer service to your subscribers and make refunds available. And if they didn't go see the show, you know, they shouldn't have to pay for it. But, you know, at the same time, they're really urging their patrons to either roll over that ticket for a credit for the following season or to consider making that ticket purchase a charitable donation.
Yeah,
which would really help, and also to go ahead and commit to next season, whatever it is, whenever it starts. I mean, that's really the best thing you can do to ensure the health of smaller theaters, is just make sure that they can keep their skeleton crew
keep them
operating.
Yeah, Justin, yeah. Do you see a free fall for musicians, because so much of their work involves being on the road, being in front of audiences, being in front of their fans, and even selling their merchandise on the road?
Absolutely. This is how artists make money, is being on the road. And one of the, you know, a lot of the shows right now, the Pabst, Turner, Riverside, that's the biggest group in Milwaukee. And all of their shows are suspended through May 15th. And some of those have been postponed, some of them straight up canceled. But a tour is a tour. I mean, like the tour is set up to go from Chicago to Milwaukee to Madison, or from Madison to Milwaukee to Chicago. And these dates are built out so that artists can play one night after another. And with all these dates being canceled, it's an organized structure that's being thrown off. And so that is how these artists make money, and they can't make the money. A lot of artists, there's an open letter to Congress right now that many artists have signed, because artists can't get unemployment. They are self-employed. So it's not only is it hurting them through not being able to tour and make that money, they also can't get on unemployment to make up for that money, which is just incredibly difficult for musicians, who already the median income for a musician is like $21,000 a year. I mean, it is scant as it is. And so it is particularly tough times.
Lori, we've talked about the Griffith String Quartet before. The group recorded its last performance on Facebook Live before the shutdown. Let's take a listen. So that piece is Strum by composer Jesse Montgomery. How are you seeing, Lori, classical musicians adapting during the pandemic so they are still performing in some way?
Obviously, chamber groups have a little easier time of it. Putting four people into a room is a little bit safer than putting an entire orchestra. I'm sure by now everybody has shared on Facebook at least one clip of Yo-Yo Ma playing for everyone. And we know that more and more people are going to try some kind of virtual performance or record something and put it up on their website. And one thing we can help out, the music blog for Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org, we're going to start cataloging and putting on our blog where you can listen to something online after the fact, like the Griffin String Quartet, like the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra playing Beethoven's Fifth. The other thing we have is we do have an events calendar on Wisconsin Public Radio's website, a whole events calendar, and then one for Simply Folk. Jonathan Overby has one for world music on his Higher Ground page. And what we're going to try and do is adapt our events calendar so that if you know next week or in 2 weeks you're going to try a virtual performance, say through Facebook, you can put that event on the calendar so people can come and see, oh, hey, there's going to be a wind quintet going to do a virtual performance. I'd love to hear it, and you can find it that way.
We're talking with Lori Skelton, host of Afternoon Classics on WPR, and theater critic Gwen Rice is here. We have Radio Milwaukee's Justin Barney. You as well, musicians and artists, join in. How are you spending this time at home? How are you getting by? How are you making ends meet? Are you working on new music? We're at 800-642-1234. So Gwen, YouTube is one platform where artists are trying to continue reaching out to fans. It also remains a space for really artistic satire on current events. So we pulled some music. Here's some of the Broadway coronavirus medley from YouTuber Zach Timson.
We're closing for the virus. It really isn't funny. A month without a profit means we're losing tons of money. We thought it would be over, but then came the NBA. Then MLB was feeling blue. Then Disneyland was closing too. Coachella said, what will we do? Spring breaks are on week number two. The Boston Marathon is through. But when it got Tom Hanks, we knew. We're closing for the virus today.
Bahar. That's borrowing a tune from Little Shop of Horrors. Gwen, how are performers and playwrights making do as their shows have been put on hold?
Well, like everybody, they've kind of been, making the best of it. There have been a couple of virtual play fests already online. So, you get two or three minute plays written by playwrights from across the country performed, by individuals, filming it in their bathrooms or whatever, and posting that online, which is amusing. Randy Rainbow also does a lot of musical parodies about politics and about the coronavirus, and that's always fun, for people who have that sort of Broadway gene. There are some performances, some theaters that are trying to figure out how to record a performance and then either live stream it or make it sort of a pay-per-view experience. And the costs are very low. In some cases, they only ask for a donation. And notably, actually, there are quite a few theaters who are making their entire back catalog of recordings available for free.
Wow.
For people to, and obviously it's not the same. I mean, there's nothing like being in a house full of people all watching a live performance. But while we can't do that right now, I think this is a pretty amazing opportunity to see some things that, particularly here in the Midwest, we just maybe didn't have the opportunity to see.
To see before, yeah.
I'm really excited about Broadway HD. Having tons of material available, and also the National Theater Live is going to have some amazing performances that are going to be streaming. So,
a couple of resources there. Let's bring in Mary now in Menominee. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I was scheduled to go see the Rolling Stones May 16th, but we're going to have to wait a little while.
I think so. Justin, the Stones in May, what do you think?
Yeah, I think you'll have to wait a while for that. It's been the big tours, and there is no we hope that they come back. We hope they come back in a timely manner. But the whole thing is a huge mechanism that's planned months and months in advance of touring. So I don't think that we'll see them in May, but hopefully they'll they've got a team, and hopefully they'll reschedule that soon.
Mary, thanks for calling in. We're checking in with several music journalists on how the pandemic is affecting our state's entertainment industry. We have Lori Skelton, WPR host, Justin Barney, music director at 88.9 Radio Milwaukee, theater critic and playwright Gwen Rice is here. You as well. Which music do you think people should be listening to right now? What resonates? We're at 800-642-1234. And we're listening to Applicable here, Work From Home by Fifth Harmony. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. On a Friday, it is Wisconsin Weekend, and we're checking in on how our music artists, our performers, our playwrights are holding up with lights dimmed and stages emptied for the foreseeable future. Artists are trying to stay connected through online concerts, or in the case of Weird Al, they're releasing videos of years-old concerts.
Even yet, just hand me some Lysol spray. Just give me a moist towel.
Song Germs is Weird Al's parody of Nine Inch Nails. What music are you listening to during the pandemic? Are you discovering new music or revisiting old albums like Justin? Still time for you, 800-642-1234. We have Justin Barney from 88.9 Radio Milwaukee, Lori Skelton here, WPR classical music host, and theater critic and playwright Gwen Rice stays with us. So, Justin, are you seeing new music coming out of the pandemic, or is it still too soon to tell what's going on with musicians as they stay at home?
Well, it's been scattered. I spent all day on Thursday talking to people from record labels, and we were having this conversation yesterday where it's like some artists are pushing off their releases so that they can tour, because that is how they make money on them. And some of them, like the Dirty Projectors, they're moving their releases forward because they're thinking, you know, people are at home and they're bored and, you know, they want to hear something new and are, you know, we like have their attention now. And some people are releasing things just as scheduled. There is no right answer. And people are asking me like what they should do. And I was like, well, I don't really know. You know, so, like some people are holding off, some people moving forward, and some people staying the same. There is new music coming out, but there is music being put on hold too. It really is kind of everybody trying to figure it out.
Lori, it's been hard to avoid the word essential this week with the governor's stay-at-home order. And in some cases, the order limits, who can continue working and who can't. And it's had a lot of debate over what is considered essential, who is considered essential in our society. What do you think music, in that context, is it essential in our lives?
Earlier this week, all of the music hosts at Wisconsin Public Radio put together a list of suggestions for things to listen to at this time. Again, it's on our music blog at WPR.org. And it's everything from the Bach Goldberg Variations to Bridge Over Troubled Water. Peter Bryant suggested the Ray Vaughan Williams Fifth Symphony, which premiered in London during World War II. That, to me, says something about what is essential. Yes, as humans, we have a need to survive. There are the basic things, the essential things to survive. But as humans, we want more than survival. We want our imaginations to expand, and we want the connection with others that we find through music or theater. We want to know somebody else's mind. We want to think about how somebody else was thinking when they made a particular painting. We need more than survival. And what I hope comes out of all of this is that we all start thinking in terms of bigger picture, long term. How do we help everything become more sustainable so that, heaven forbid, there's another problem, we've got a better structure in place to keep the essentials and the other essentials going.
Well, thank you all so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kate.
Oh, thanks for having me.
We had Lori Skelton, the host of Afternoon Classics and Wisconsin Classical, here on WPR. Justin Barney, music director at 88.9 Radio Milwaukee. And Gwendolyn Rice, a theater critic for the Isthmus and Milwaukee.com. And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Brad Kohlberg with a story about a Wisconsinite's big role in a Hollywood film.
Mike Moe runs a martial arts school in Wanakee, Wisconsin, and he has a budding acting career as well. He recently talked with Beta's Doug Gordon about the moment he learned he'd been cast in Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood alongside Brad Pitt.
So I just remember I was in Wanakee at our little neighborhood pool with my kids, and I get the news, and I freak out a little bit. I'm sure some of my neighbors were wondering what I was so giddy about,
there,
and I do a big belly flop into the pool to celebrate, and it was a good day.
And how it felt to portray Bruce Lee in the film.
To be able to play Bruce has been kind of a lifelong bucket list thing for me ever since I started acting. So to have it all come together in a project like this with a maestro director like Quentin Tarantino it's been worth the wait.
Here he is talking about filming his big scene and the joy of seeing it all on the big screen.
I think the greatest thing that Quentin gave me that week was he just let me be. you know, a couple of rehearsals before we started shooting, he said, look, it's all on you because I have an idea of how I want to shoot this scene. Yeah. It's going to be a one-shot take. This is how I want to do it. And if you don't nail it, I'm going to have to change it. And this is the way I want to shoot it. But I wouldn't have hired you if I didn't believe that you could do it.
Yeah.
So as my knees are quivering, I say, yes, yeah. Yes, sir, you got the right guy.
Yeah. How many takes did it take to
so
get
I
it?
Think, if I remember correctly, he gave us like a pep talk. He said, all right, we've got this long 4.5-minute scene. There's definitely going to be multiple takes because there's going to be a plane that flies by or somebody's going to flub a line or the camera's going to be out of position. And if there's any moment where I don't like it, don't assume it's you. I'm just going to cut it so we can save our performance because it might be a long day. I don't know how many days they had blocked off for this, but I know it was a lot more than what we actually had to use it in because I think we got it in our fourth take.
Oh, way to go.
Yeah,
that's very
so
impressive.
I just remember he said, don't freak out as we get close to the end because there's going to be this tendency to start celebrating before you finish the scene. Stay in it.
Yeah, stay in the
moment.
And
then when I say cut, then we get it. So we got it on the fourth take, and I think Quentin was already jumping up and down. So he was kind of contradicting you. So you can see him off to the side.
Yeah.
Not only he's the one that's laughing the loudest at the jokes.
Yeah.
Then we call cut, and he's the first one jumping up and down, and we all celebrate. Brad and I, high 10, you know, it was a celebration. He's like, that's the one that's going to be in the movie, but we're going to do it again. And then he says, why? And then the whole crew, unbeknownst to me, says, because we love making movies.
Mm.
And it was this whole team thing.
That's
great. And it just felt like that moment I was like welcomed into this Tarantino film family.
You're a little man with a big mouth and a big chip.
You're the one with the big mouth. And I would really enjoy closing it, especially in front of all my friends. But my hands are registered as lethal weapons. That means we get into a fight, I accidentally kill you, I go to jail.
Anybody accidentally kills anybody in a fight, they go to jail. It's called manslaughter.
There's a beautiful scene in the movie in which Margot Robbie's character, Sharon Tate, goes to a theater to watch herself in a movie. And with that in mind, I'm curious, where did you go to watch Once Upon a Time in Hollywood for the first time?
It was before it came out. It was at the Chinese Grauman's Theater.
Mm.
And it was at the world premiere with, you know, the whole red carpet and the whole shebang.
Wow.
Just all these, you know, very, very, very famous and talented people. So that was a night I'll never forget.
Yeah. Well, what did you think of your performance the first time you saw it at Grauman's Chinese Theater?
I don't know. I can't even remember.
Yeah.
I think I was watching my wife's reaction more than I was watching myself on screen.
How did she react?
She just kept squeezing my arm like a vice grip.
Yeah.
It was a pretty cool moment.
Mike Moe, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Appreciate it.
Mike Moe is an actor and martial arts instructor from Wanakee. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Brad Colbert.
And Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. During this pandemic, weekends don't really feel like weekends, so we could really use your help. What could you share about your community, or what would you like to talk about that could reach all corners of Wisconsin at this time on Friday? Send your suggestions our way for Wisconsin Weekend to ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org. And we'll explore what's keeping you busy and complete here and whole for Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.